Everybody in Gideon class, and good to have everybody today. So I will start off right now. So I did this a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot birthdays and anniversaries and those things, but I want to confess that it was my wife's birthday 2 weeks ago, and I totally missed that. So do we have any birthdays that we... I don't have anybody listed on birthdays today, but do we have any birthdays this coming week? We'd like to recognize you. Well, I can relate to that. So, yes. So, no birthdays this week. How about anniversaries? I got Brenda and Harry Vickers. So, they got an anniversary this week. I don't have the year, but I do know that they are having an anniversary this coming week. So any other anniversaries that we need to celebrate? All right, if you get a chance, maybe you could email or text Harry and let them know that just congratulate them on their anniversary. All right, as far as prayer requests, I do have some special prayer requests. One, I think Marty took a couple weeks on summer going down next Sunday. All right, so let's do remember that this week, that they will be flying out this Sunday, and then the surgery that following week. So let's remember summer, that everything will go well, and she'll have a speedy recovery. So, and then I've also got, for our special request, Eva Spring Spitzer and then Brenda Bacon. Let's remember those two right there. Any other special requests that anybody has? All right. Okay, so it's Danny's sister. So let's remember Danny's sister. She's in ICU this morning, so that's why Danny had to, that's why he's not here today. So let's remember Danny's sister. So let's go ahead and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you for today. God, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. You're always good, and we thank you so much for that, and we just praise you this morning. And Lord, we do ask that you'd be with Marty and Tracy and Summer as they fly out on Sunday. Lord, we just pray that you give them a safe trip out there. God, we pray that you'd be with Summer as she has a surgery. We pray that the doctors will know what to do and have a successful surgery, that Summer will have a quick recovery. And Lord, that they can, she can get back on the field, and she can, they can get back home quickly. God, we pray for that, and we pray for Brenda and Eva. Lord, just remember those, and we just thank you for Harry and Brenda. That Lord, that you'd bless their anniversary today and bless them as they are home. Lord, just pray that you'd be with them and just bless them. And pray that you'd bless Philip today. We want to continue to lift Philip up in prayer. And God, we just pray for him and that you'd just be with him as he teaches today. Help us to have receptive hearts and help us to get much from your word today that we can take and use and use it in our life to give your word out to others. Because we know that our time is short, and Lord, help us to use every day for your glory, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few quick announcements before we get Philip up here. Let me see if I can get my phone to open back up. So it looks like on Tuesday, the 14th, the Oasis will be going to the Bright Zoo, and then they'll go to Troyer's for lunch. So if you're in the Oasis group, keep that in mind and make sure you sign up for that. That sounds like a lot of fun. And then on Thursday, we have the ladies' Bible study. So it'll be 10 o'clock here in the Home Builders over here in the gym, in the Home Builders classroom. And then at 7 o'clock, that will be at the Herdman's. So ladies, come out for that, for the Bible study. And then Saturday, we have the men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock here in the chapel in the morning. And then later that afternoon, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we have the harvest party. Bobby Brown has all the information. He talked a little bit after the morning service. They are needing some more candy. So if you've got, you know, if you can provide some bags of candy, I think they are needing some more candy. So that will be, you can bring it today, tonight, Wednesday night, or even up until Saturday morning. That would be great. But they did make that announcement that they are needing some more candy for that. So, and then also Faith Promise Sunday, we are up to $527,000 for Faith Promise, and what a blessing that is. That's a wonderful number, and you know, that's going out. That money is going out to help missionaries around the world, to get the gospel around the world. So that is a true blessing, and we just thank everybody for giving for that. And I think that's it, Philip. So I'll turn it over to you, and thank you all for being here.
John 11, please, and let's read verse 35, and I'm convinced everybody in here could quote this verse. I'm going to read it for you. Jesus wept. Now, all of us here love that person. We would say, like the Shunammite in Song of Solomon, yea, he is altogether lovely. Amen. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Don't you just love words like that? Fitly spoken. Amen. And we love him too. When we see someone crying, and we see our Savior, tears streaming down his face, because that's exactly what that Greek word means, shedding of tears. When we see someone crying, especially someone we love, who is our friend, we naturally are moved by those tears, and we want to know, why are you crying? Amen? Aren't we all like that? There are tears of repentance. There are tears of loss. There are tears of anguish. Excuse me. Very dry. There are tears of joy. There are tears of regret over lost opportunities. And you and I understand this. We cry because of some internal turmoil that is usually a result of some outward circumstance. That internal turmoil can be very complex and sometimes difficult to comprehend. Now, the first time we see this in the Bible is when Hagar was expelled from Abraham's household. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Now what's amazing about this is in the next verse, and God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee? What happened? What's going on that's causing you to weep so? The next time we see it is Esau weeping over his lost blessing. Oh, Father, hast thou but one blessing, my Father? Bless me, even me also, oh, my Father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept tears over lost blessing. Jacob also cried when he met Rachel. He kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. What a very complex set of emotions that must have been. Jacob wept over the news of Joseph's death. And in Genesis 43, verse 30, Joseph made haste. This was the second time his brothers came to Egypt, if you recall. But this time, his youngest brother, Benjamin, was with them. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. There's that internal turmoil. The circumstance is seeing this little brother, who was not part of their plan to kill him, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into a chamber and wept there. Now, in all of these, we have some event that triggers a flood of emotions so strong that the person is brought to tears. Now, that's what we're seeing in John 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. We see him crying, and we too must say, as God said to Hagar, and it's not wrong to do this, Jesus, what aileth thee? Wouldn't we like to know? He's our friend. We love him. What is it that is so upsetting our great Savior? If we understand the circumstance, maybe we can understand the heart of our Savior. Correct? Isn't that what we do? If we see somebody crying, what do we say? Sweetheart, why are they crying? Do you know what's going on? Oh, somebody died. Or, oh, this happened. What do we know then? We know what's going on in their heart because we know the circumstance that caused the turmoil, right? And because they're our friend, and because we love them, we enter into their sorrow. Our own heart gets in a turmoil. Excuse me. So, I think it would be very beneficial to us because we love the Savior, because like that Shunammite woman, he's our friend. It would be beneficial to us to find out what is causing this internal turmoil that causes him to break forth into tears. It might help us to know him better and also to know if there's something that we're doing that might break his heart as well. Now, I'm so sorry. If we eliminate in our study of Scripture all the reasons why something cannot possibly be true, what's left is the possible. Amen? So let's eliminate what we know couldn't possibly be the case. In John 11, verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Now, folks, those people, if you go back to John 11, verse 8, the reason they were outside of Judea at this time and on the other side of Jordan, according to what Thomas said, Lord, the Jews of late sought to kill thee, and goest thou hither again? These are evil people. The last people in the world we want to try and interpret the internal workings of the Son of God would be the people trying to kill him. Correct? So we're going to discount this altogether. I don't want lost people's ideas about my Savior. Secondly, Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Folks, this is the very reason. It wasn't because Lazarus was dead that he was weeping. He delayed his coming so that that would happen. So it can't be because he's sad that he died. Correct? That can't be. Because he delayed so that this would happen. Verse 4. Let me get all the way back up here. When Jesus heard that he said, no, excuse me, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So, when he says this sickness is not unto death, he's not talking about the fact that he would not die. He was going to die. That's why he waited. So this is intent. The intent of this whole exercise, this whole event, this whole delay, wasn't that he would die, but that something would come about because of that death. That was the intent. Now, what is that? Now, this is very important, because what we're seeing here, and if we go down to verse 6, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he did what? He delayed. He waited 2 days still. And if you go through the whole text here, it was a week before he made it there. He had to go through Jericho. He saw Zacchaeus and dined with him. He healed the blind men there. All sorts of delays before he ever got to these people that were in such great need. And the fact that he waited 2 days until he died. And then it took him 4 days to make it back, because you remember when he got to Bethany, he had been in the grave for 4 days by the time he got there. So here we see the purpose of delay. I think there's 3 reasons why God delays. It's important that we see this before we see why he's crying. Verse 4 again, heard that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now let me say this. You and I are not the center of God's universe. For by him were all things made, Colossians 1. We're all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. Can you finish the verse? And for him. All of this, every bit of it, is for God's Son. Period. Folks, you and I are not the center of God's universe. His Son is, and he does everything. He has made all of this for him. And so we see that in this delay, the purpose of it, one of the purposes of it, was to glorify the person he made all this for. To glorify his Son. In Psalm 23 and verse 3, it says this, that he leadeth us in paths of righteousness, because that's the best thing for us. That is not what it says, and you know it. He leadeth us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, it does bring wonderful results in our life, does it not? Righteousness is wonderful. What blessings we have from it, but that's not its chief purpose. God leads us in paths of righteousness so that we can glorify him thereby. Isn't that what it says in the Gospels? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. All of it, every bit of it. So, the most overriding purpose of delay is so that our Savior can be glorified. But notice also in verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So, reason number two is to increase our faith. Waiting, I thought getting would increase my faith. Pray and God gave me all that I wanted. No, that's not what increases your faith. You might rejoice that you did get your prayers answered, but it's the waiting, isn't it, that increases your faith? I'm glad that I wasn't there. Think of that now. This man's dying. Those people are in distress. I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you could have more faith in me. Now, those are noble causes, amen? The glory of God and an increase of our faith. But that's not the end of it. If you would, turn with me also to verse 45. Because of this enormous miracle, and it was incredible, then many of the Jews, these people that had planned to kill him, that persecuted, that hated him, because of this miracle, because he waited, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Are you and I willing to wait on God if he's delaying so that we can somehow bring glory to God, so that we somehow can become a better Christian, so that we somehow, through all of our troubles, through them all, somebody might get saved? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to suffer delay to achieve these purposes? They're very noble, to be sure. Now, back to verse 3. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. This message sent to Jesus is perfect. Without any doubt, there is an earnestness and a fervency that goes with this. But we need to look at this carefully. Lord, this implies two things. He has all power and he controls everything. If he is Lord, there is nothing too hard for him to handle. Like the centurion who said, but speak the word and it shall be done. Amen? All God got to do is speak the word and it will be done. He's got all power. He is Lord. Now, do we believe that? That has to be first and foremost, because isn't that what it says in Hebrews? He that believeth, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and what? That he can help, that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that God can do whatever is needed. Nothing is too hard for God. That's what Lord means. But also, and maybe more importantly than that, if he is Lord, think of this, he can do what he pleases. He is not required to act according to our timing or our expectations. Now, can we live with that? There must be, in all of our praying, a surrender. We must come to that garden with Jesus and be willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Not my timing, not in the way I expect it, not what I want. your will be done. Now, we do want him to hear our prayers, amen? We do want that. And we do pray many times with tears. But there has got to be in this this idea of lordship that he is free to act any way he wants, in any timing he wants. Lord, this is a perfect prayer. You'll notice in this message that these two dear ladies sent to Jesus, there is no demands. In reality, there's hardly even a request. It does not say, Lord, please come to Bethany and heal. It doesn't say that at all, does it? It says, behold. Just look on us, please. Just take note of what we're going through. Do you know one of the things about waiting? A lot of times we think that God's not even interested or is even watching all that we're going through. It's like we're all on our own. Amen. Have you ever been there? I know I have. Behold, please take notice of our need. Notice also, he does not say, Lord, behold him that loves you so much. Lord, behold him that has done so much for your kingdom. Lord, behold what a good man he is. Lord, behold, if he dies, the kingdom of God's going to suffer. All they say is, Lord, he whom thou lovest. Now, folks, the ground of our hope in all of our waiting is that he loves us. Period. It's not who you are. It's not what you need. It's the ground of all of it is his love for us. What a wonderful message they sent to him. Amen? Lord, behold him whom thou lovest. Just look on us. You know what they're saying? Have mercy. Now, this is coming boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. This is the kind of attitude we need to have. Lord, your Lord, please look on me. And because you love me, help. Two words, is sick. Now, we add this because God wants us to. A plain statement of need. Without a doubt, we must bring all of our needs to God. It is his will that we do so. But notice this comes last. He's sick. So, let us bring all of our needs to God. But let us have this spirit about us. Amen. Lord, behold he whom thou lovest. In verse 6, when he heard, therefore, now he just heard that, right? When he heard, therefore, that he was sick. So this is what the servant has just told him. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's hard, isn't it? Because what we want is answers, man. We need help right now. We need help. But what's important is the verse that came immediately before that. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I'm so glad he put that in there, aren't you? Because if he's going to wait, and he is going to wait many times, and you and I are going to wait many times on him as he waits to accomplish his will, we need to remember that verse. Now Jesus loves you. Now Jesus loves me. We cannot forget that. Now, all of that being said, this wonderful, and by the way, I believe all of this was said in the hearing of that servant that came and told him, and I believe he went back and gave them word, because he said to them, way down in the other end of the chapter, he said to Martha, he said, "Did not I tell you that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" I believe that's the word he sent. We don't see that in the interview he had with her at that time, so he must have sent word back saying, "Just believe and you'll see the glory of God." He was encouraging her. He knew what he would do, and he knew that she should wait, but she needed to believe. Now, all that wonderful request, all these beautiful truths that we've just seen, now let's look at them after having waited a week. In verse 21. Then said Martha, now there's so much to see in between all of that, but I haven't got time for that. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Verse 33 and verse 34. Excuse me, is that right? Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And then what happens? And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned. There's the turmoil. What is the circumstance that brings upon this great turmoil in his soul? What have they said to him? Their words before had been absolutely and beautifully correct, but in the intervening time, we see that they had set up in their heart certain expectations. Now, folks, it's when you and I set up vain expectations that we get disappointed. We pray and we say, "God, you need to come. You need to help. I need this." Uh-oh. Is he Lord? I need this and I need it now. See, they had set up in their mind an expectation, well, really of four things. Number one, that he needed to come. Now, folks, God doesn't need to come to do what he needs to do, correct? If he wanted to, he could have said to that servant, "He's healed," and he has gone back, just like the centurion whose servant was healed from that very hour that he said he could have done that. And by the way, they saw these miracles. They should have had that kind of faith. These people were close to the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. So they had set up in their minds the fact that he needed to come. They were already in trouble, weren't they? Absolutely. The minute you and I have some expectation that we're going to force upon God, you and I could be very disappointed. Not only that, not only did he fail to come, but the only way the miracle could be done is if he came. And also, what they wanted, now think of this, this is only natural, what they wanted was for him to be saved from death. But what God wanted was his son to be glorified. So they have set up all sorts of expectations. But there's one thing as well. Verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with him, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" Then said they unto him, "Lord, come and see." Now Jesus is weeping. Then said Jesus, "Behold how he loved him." Oh, we're not listening to that. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died?" By the way, isn't that pretty much what Martha and Mary said? If you had come, he wouldn't have died. They literally were saying the same thing these lost people were saying. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. Oh, here's the turmoil. And there he is weeping. He cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. What did Martha say? The sister of him that was dead saith, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Do you know what she's saying? Lord, there's nothing you can do now. He's decomposed. He stinks. He's rotted. What she's saying is this person can't do anything about this situation. And Jesus is weeping because in their waiting, they have failed to trust him. All of their confidence had been eroded. I agree. It was a very sore trial. It might be for you as well to wait on God and to see everything disappointed and God do something that you didn't even think he could do. Now, I doubt we'll see our loved ones come back, but that's not the point. The point is that God wants to do something through whatever he allows to bring glory to his Son, to make us better believers, and possibly to see people saved. They lost sight of all of that in their waiting. Now, folks, how are we doing? Amen? Waiting upon God, who delays that he might do the miraculous in that delay. Let's not forget that he loves us. Let's not forget that he is Lord, even though he's let it go completely against what we might want. He is Lord, and he can bring forth incredible things through all of our suffering if we'll just submit to it in our waiting. Father, thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us as we wait upon you. Lord, help us not fail of the grace of God. We love Martha and we love Mary, but sadly, they broke your heart. A great grief, a turmoil, because of how they responded to waiting on you. Help us, Lord, not to be like that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.